without clothes, being naked. The only thing that identifies the man is his need, his human need, his being there half dead. In the story, Jesus lets the Jew become just a man, just a human being. In our day, it would be like letting Americans become just human beings, just like all the other people on God's earth. The story continues. The priest and Levite come along, see the man, the human being, and pass on. These upstanding, good religious people see nothing in the man that would point him out as somehow linked to or related to them. His humanity and his desperate human need are obviously not enough to commend him to these good people. Then comes the Samaritan. Now we easily say, good Samaritan, but we have no idea what a struggle it would be for a Jew in Jesus' day to call any Samaritan good. They were simply the hated enemy, more hated than even the occupying Romans. Religiously, the Samaritans denied the validity of the great Jewish prophets like Isaiah and Elijah. Historically, they had collaborated with the Babylonians when they occupied the Jewish homeland. The Samaritans had profiteered from the expulsion of the Jews. So, speaking of the Good Samaritan would be like a Jew today speaking of the good Nazi. And in the parable, Jesus makes us leap far beyond our categories. The Good Samaritan, the good Nazi, is overwhelmingly caring for the Jew, who is seen and approached as just another human being in need. It is precisely here that Jesus chooses to locate the life and love of God. In the humanly detested, in the religiously disowned, God's kingdom arrives in unexpected places and through unacceptable people, even through the good enemy. Look at what Jesus has done in the parable. We began with the question, who is my neighbor? Who should I love? At the end of the parable, it is no longer a question of where and how far I should limit the idea of neighbor to see just how far my obligation to love extends. It has become a question of recognizing the extravagant hospitality shown by the despised alien as God's own hospitality. It has become a question of recognizing as God's own the courageous love that breaks through barriers of ethnic and religious prejudice to minister to a fellow human being in need. In the end, Jesus tells the lawyer, go and do likewise. Have nothing to do with the fears and suspicions that would terrorize us into becoming unloving spectators before human need. Have nothing to do with the fears and suspicions that would blind us to the life and to the love of God erupting into our lives in unexpected, unexampled ways. We call them miracles. These fears and suspicions, however patriotic sounding, however religiously satisfying, they have nothing to do with God and His kingdom. So have no fear. Let God's kingdom come. Get set for miracles to happen. We call it inheriting eternal life. We call it living God's life.